I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News.
Again, I think of the great wealth that exists in eastern Kentucky, and it seems to me that some of that wealth should be utilized and stay and remain here so that you can pay the teachers' salaries. I mean, you think of all the wealth that's been taken out of eastern Kentucky over the period of the last 40 or 50 years. It's astronomical. And yet you think that the fact that schools haven't been constructed and the teachers aren't being paid adequate salaries, and there are not the roads and the highways there should be, and there's not the industry that should be.
That is a rare audio recording of Robert F. Kennedy speaking at Alice Lloyd College in the late winter of 1968. It was part of the Democratic U.S. Senator's two-day tour of eastern Kentucky to gauge the progress of President Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty, as well as an opportunity to test his anti-war and anti-poverty message with Appalachian voters. Now there's a new book out on this important chapter in Kentucky and American political history. I recently sat down with award-winning journalist Matthew Algio, author of All This Marvelous Potential, Robert Kennedy's 1968 Tour of Appalachia.
All This Marvelous Potential is a phrase that Kennedy used in one of the speeches he gave in eastern Kentucky, in describing eastern Kentucky. And how I found the tape of the speech is actually kind of interesting. He gave a speech at Alice Lloyd College in Pippa Passes on February 13th, 1968. And it turns out there was a recording. Somebody made a recording, but then they left it on the reel-to-reel machine where it sat for months and months. And then when another teacher went to borrow the reel-to-reel machine, he saw this recording on there. And it turned out to be the Kennedy speech. The teacher, Benny Lee Moore, kept it, took it home. And when I interviewed somebody about the visit, I asked, you know, if there's a copy of that speech? And he said, oh, yeah, just call Benny Lee Moore. He's got a copy. And so that night, I actually heard this. His son put it in Dropbox. I listened to the speech. And All This Marvelous Potential is a phrase that Kennedy used. And I also think it's something that applies to Kennedy himself, you know, the unrealized potential of Kennedy's life.
What do we not understand already about the trip? We know the historical aspects of it, that that his brother was scheduled to visit,
right,
in 1963, in December of 63. Obviously,
right,
that didn't happen. What do we know? What new territory do you uncover in this book?
I think for a lot of people outside Appalachia, there's a lot of new territory here. I'm a guy, I grew up in Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia. My idea of the 60s was Woodstock in San Francisco. And as I did the research on this book, I was amazed to find out the 60s happened in Appalachia too. And there were just amazing stories about, environmental protests, anti-strip mining, racial class issues, and all these kinds of things that I think a lot of people outside the region really don't understand or appreciate happened in this part of the country at that time. But the other thing I would say is I learned that there are so many issues that were dealt with or that they were dealing with in 1968 that people are still dealing with today. You've got racial and class issues. You've got really bitter, divisive politics. I mean, you think it's bad now. Go read Bobby Kennedy's mail that he got 10,000 letters a week, and it's like talk radio, except they had to write it down. So there are a whole host of issues that Kennedy and the people of eastern Kentucky that were confronting in 1968 that in some ways we're still dealing with today.
You certainly see the parallels because the Appalachian voter gravitated toward Trump because he appealed to their left-behindness, if you will.
Yeah, and it was interesting to look at Kennedy's visit. And, you know, Kennedy was a liberal. I mean, he was very liberal. And when he came here in February of 68, very much anti-war, very much anti-poverty, very much pro-civil rights. And he campaigned, and he hadn't officially declared for the presidency, but that was just a month in the future. This was basically a dry run for his presidential campaign. So you have this real liberal guy in 68 come and campaign in eastern Kentucky. And then, you know, in 2016, Trump wins these counties with 60-70% of the vote. And so there are you see that great change. But then you look, what were the people gravitating towards Kennedy for? Because they were tired of government. You know, there was a big sign somebody unfurled at one of the hearings that Kennedy held. It said, "We can't eat your fancy promises." And so you see in 1968, this people's attitude toward the government is negative. And I think you still see that today. It just manifests in a different way.
Okay, so talk about how long was he in Eastern Kentucky, and where did he visit?
Right, so it was a pretty short trip. It was a 2-day trip. He flew into Lexington on the morning of February 13th, 1968. Louis Nunn was the governor, and he loaned Kennedy a car and a state trooper to drive him around. That was the only security, by the way, was his driver, the state trooper, which kind of blew me away, considering, you know, his brother had been killed. And Kennedy then went to a community called Vortex, held a hearing in a one-room schoolhouse, a very informal hearing. I have a photo in the book, a snapshot that somebody whose grandmother was there lent to me. He would stop periodically along the way and make unplanned stops, stopped at a lot of communities. He went to a strip mine near Vico. He went to Alice Lloyd College in Pippa Passes and gave a talk. He went to Whitesburg. Hazard and ended up in Prestonsburg. He gave a hearing the second day, too, at Fleming Neon High School in the town of Neon, which is now Fleming Neon. So it was a very whirlwind tour, and it had all the trappings of a campaign. I mean, he was meeting with local officials and photo ops and speeches on the courthouse steps, these hearings. So it was a really interesting look at a different time and place.
What was he getting at with the hearings?
Well, the war on poverty had been declared in 1964 by Lyndon Johnson. The Economic Opportunity Act had been passed in the summer of 64. So the war on poverty had been underway for 4 years. And the ostensible purpose of this trip for Kennedy was to gauge the progress of the war on poverty. He wanted to see how the programs were working, what programs were working, what programs weren't working. So that was really the purpose behind the hearings. But I said he also had that ulterior motive, I think, to give his campaign a dry run in eastern Kentucky.
And obviously, he was met with a variety of reactions. But, you know, you mentioned the banner. What other reactions did he get?
You know, among young people, Kennedy was almost universally beloved. And I think among their parents, he was regarded with much more ambivalence. I think a lot of people were suspicious of Kennedy and his motives in coming down here. You know, Lyndon Johnson had come down when he declared the war on poverty and had a photo op, flew in on his helicopter. They drove him to, I forget the town, Inez or something, sat on the porch with Tom Fletcher and flew back to Washington that day. So people were pretty jaded about the whole idea of politicians coming to eastern Kentucky to go on these so-called poverty tours. They'd seen it before and they would see it again. So I would say older people were a little less enthusiastic than younger people. Of course, the people that I spoke with about the book at the time, now they're all in their 70s and 80s, so they were younger at the time, so they tended to be more enthusiastic about the visit.
Yeah, and of those people that you talked to, what sort of memories did they share?
I was surprised how meaningful the visit was for the people that I spoke with who met with Kennedy at the time. Reverend Lawrence Baldridge, he's a Baptist minister in Pippa Passes, and he invited Kennedy to speak at Alice Lloyd College. And I think that the visit made quite an impact on his life. And I think it really, you know, really shaped his dedication toward helping his community. So many people I met with have given back to their community in so many different ways without any, you know, publicity or any recognition, without requesting it. And that was one of the cool things about the book, was getting to meet these people and hopefully giving them a little bit of recognition in the book.
Now, you've alluded to it earlier, but there's parallels today to 50 plus years ago. What do we not understand about Eastern Kentucky even today that we certainly didn't understand 52 years ago?
Boy, that's a tough one. And I'm from Philadelphia, so I'm not from Eastern Kentucky. I think it was interesting to look at Kennedy, and I try to imagine him. And here's a guy who's pretty worldly. He's been around. He was attorney general. His brother was president. And I think he was taken aback, A, at the poverty that he saw in Kentucky, and B, I think he was also a little naive about the politics of Kentucky at that time. You know, at this speech he gave at Alice Lloyd, it was really a question and answer session, and somebody asked Kennedy a question about strip mining and whether the federal government should pass legislation banning strip mining. And Robert Kennedy said, in all honesty, he said, "Well, I think you could easily pass a law in Kentucky banning strip mining." And people laughed. you weren't going to easily pass a law banning strip mining in Kentucky in 1968, that was for sure. So it was interesting to see Kennedy's perspective on things. I think it was really he did learn a lot when he came here, and I think I know I learned a lot researching and writing the book.
That was going to be my next question. What did you feel when you went to the area and you looked around and said, okay, 52 years ago, RFK was here. Describe the coming into contact with the scenery that
yes,
you were talking about.
And in some ways it's unrecognizable. The roads, people just kept talking about the roads, how much the roads had improved. There were so many one-room schoolhouses at that time, of course, because the transportation network didn't allow for busing kids because a lot of the hollows just didn't have paved roads that would lead to the county roads. So in some ways, in terms of being connected to the rest of the world, I think it's a huge change. At the same time, it's pretty cool. There's one one-room schoolhouse that Kennedy visited in a community called Barwick near Chavies, I think it's pronounced. And I met with the teacher who was there. She's still with us in her 80s, Bonnie Carroll. And the building is still standing. And I think it's really the only I think he visited three one-room schoolhouses, and it's the only one still standing. It's vacant now. It was a library. But the road it's on is not paved. And in a way, you can really imagine yourself being there at that time in 1968 when you were standing there and looking at it. But then you drive 2 miles up and it's just nothing but McDonald's, Hardee's, Arby's, Burger King, and you could be in any town anywhere in America. So that was interesting, too, to think, boy, how many McDonald's were there in Kentucky in 1968? I don't know. Maybe 10. And now there's 10 in every county.
Now, we mentioned the name of the book is All This Marvelous Potential, and you said about the land, but also about the Kennedy, a possible Kennedy presidency. What do you think would have happened to Eastern Kentucky and other poverty-stricken areas of our country had RFK actually survived and became president in 68?
Yeah. I should have a real pithy answer for that. I don't. I'm this is why I'm a historian, not a futurist, but—
Oh, historians hate counterfactuals. They
exactly.
Absolutely
what
do.
If? What if?
Yeah,
what if? But let's look at this. So Kennedy's assassinated June of 68. There's no guarantee he would have been elected president. But nonetheless, Nixon's elected president in November of 68. Nixon essentially takes over the war on poverty, okay? So he has to put somebody in charge of the Office of Economic Opportunity. This is the department that oversees all the war on poverty programs, $1 billion in programs. That was a lot of money back then. What Republican is going to want to run the war on poverty? Well, he had a lot of trouble finding somebody to take the job. Eventually, he settled on a congressman from Illinois, rather obscure congressman named Donald Rumsfeld. And Rumsfeld is one of his first assistants, hired a congressional intern from Wyoming, Dick Cheney. So Rumsfeld and Cheney got their start as the first Republican heads of the War on Poverty program. So I think it's safe to say if Kennedy had been elected, the War on Poverty probably would have gone in a different direction than in the Rumsfeld-Cheney direction. And by virtue of Nixon, becoming president, this is where we see Rumsfeld and Cheney get their first big break.
Very fascinating. And this book itself is extremely fascinating. Highly recommended. It's All This Marvelous Potential, Robert Kennedy's 1968 Tour of Appalachia. Matthew Algeo has been our guest today. Thank you for your time and continued success.
Thank you, Alan.